So when you put together a series and call it Shape, and then you say, hey, the series is going to be Shape, people start to sweat a little bit. They're like, uh-oh, what's he going to talk about? Especially coming after Christmas and, you know, turkey dinner, and you start wondering, what's this guy going to talk about? But I promise I am not talking about your shape physically. This is not going to come up too often. Maybe not at all, except for that little joke at the beginning. Something else is happening here with Shape. There's a verse that is kind of going to be a theme verse for us. Ephesians 1:11, it says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. It's about purpose. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose that he's working out in everything and everyone. It's just a beautiful passage about God's purposes, his big purposes, and how he has his eye on each one of us. So we've arrived. In case you are late to the party, a new year is upon you, 2018. Hopefully you rang it in. Hopefully you made it to midnight. I think my wife and I have a plan to make it to midnight and then quickly go to sleep. So like 12:05, we try to hit the sack because we're not night owls. But hopefully you made it, you celebrated the new year, and you said, I'm here, 2018. What do you have for me? What's this year got planned? What does it have for us as a church, I wonder? It's a question maybe you're wondering too. 2018, a whole year of opportunities. What can we do together? What can we be together? And coming out of our Christmas sermon series on December 24th, I talked about gifts, how Jesus was God's great gift to humanity, but also how God is prepared to give the humble heart that has room for him new gifts, new things to unwrap and unpack. And this series follows up with that belief that God gives good gifts to his children. It's called SHAPE, and that's an acronym, hopefully a helpful acronym. It has been for me. You know, no matter where I am, I can remember SHAPE and remember pretty much this entire idea that we're going to be going through for the next 5 weeks. It's that helpful for me. It comes from a book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. It's just a tiny little thing in his book. Warren created this acronym SHAPE as a tool to help us remember the different aspects of our lives that God influences for his purposes. So each letter, obviously, represents one of those ways that God has shaped you to fulfill both his purposes and your purpose. Warren writes, you were created to serve. The Bible says God has created us for a life of good deeds, which he's already prepared for us to do. These good deeds are your service. Whenever you serve others in any way, you're actually serving God and fulfilling one of your purposes. That's from Warren. So this acronym helps us remember those ways that he is building and continues to build into you and shape you for his purposes. The S is spiritual gifts. What gift or gifts has the Holy Spirit given you, gifted you with? These are special abilities. H is for heart. What are the deep passions? What are those longings in your heart that inform what you're called to do? A is abilities. What do you have that knack for? You've always just been naturally good at that thing, an ability that's ingrained and inherent in you. And that can help you further define your purpose. Maybe it's an ability that started small, but you've just been at it for so long that it's now one of the things that shapes you, that defines you. P is personality. We have different personalities that make even a set of twins radically unique. Anyone's known twins, you know they look the same, but they are not the same in many other ways. So how does your personality position you to fulfill your purpose? And then E is experiences. Your life is filled with defining moments, things that have happened to you, that have formed you, and choices you've made that have shaped you. What are your experiences telling you about what you're called to do and to be? So those are the areas that for the next 5 weeks we'll be discussing together. The beginning of a new year is, I think, a great time to look inward, to take stock of who we are, what our purpose is, how we're doing living out that purpose. We're going to be, once we define the date, we're going to be as a church doing this. How have we done over the last year? We're going to be, it's called an AGM, an annual general meeting, and we'll look at how far we've come in the last year, and then we'll start to make plans and ideas and designs on what we want to do in the year forward. Unless we have a date. We don't have a date yet, eh, Matt? It's coming. My hope is that through this series, we'll grow in our self-awareness and trust that God's workmanship is all over us because he's shaped us. He shaped us uniquely. And I also hope that we'll worship the one who knows us, the one who's formed us and gifted us and called us to serve him. It's exciting when we gain self-awareness, when we start to look inward and see, oh man, God has done this for me. I have this gift. I have this ability. I have this personality. And it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. And we give God glory. We say, thank you for making me a part of your big plans. So this morning, we launch it with the S, spiritual gifts. And Paul says to the church, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, I don't know how many messages on the spiritual gifts the gathering has actually had. I forgot to ask Catherine how many, how much teaching am I? Okay, very little. Okay, good. So it's a kind of a fresh slate. And I'm not going to undo anything that Jim has built into you in a great way. Hopefully, anything that you have heard from Jim, because I think we're pretty similar on this, it will only strengthen and build. So Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Another translation says ignorant, because many Christians are somewhat ignorant about the spiritual gifts, what role they are to play in the church, how to handle them, and what's going on here. And then later in the letter, he encourages the church with these words. He says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. That's something we don't hear very often in the church. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. For Paul, teaching about the gifts was important. He wanted the church to understand them, to seek them, and to use them. Paul was speaking to new churches. These letters, the Corinthians, the Ephesians, we're going to be touching on. These are new churches, new Christians. And he's talking about brand new things, these spiritual gifts. The church had experienced an outpouring of expressions and abilities that hadn't been categorized yet. And they were generating excitement. So people are coming. People are saying, what is going on here? These people have power and authority. So it was causing excitement and growth. But it was also causing division and anger in the community because the gifts weren't always being handled well. And 2,000 years later, there is still a wide range of views on the spiritual gifts. In the church today, you can encounter everything from cessationism, which is a big fancy word that just means, I don't think the gifts are for today. They're for back then. They were what the apostles needed to gain authority and let people know that they were legit. But after the apostles, no more need for the gifts, so that's cessationism. They happened, but no longer. All the way to churches and Christians that believe in the full expression of gifts, that everything that you see on the pages of Scripture is still alive and active today. I am one who believes that there is still fire in our faith, that you can experience God in the here and now, that those gifts present in the body of Christ are still here and active. I believe that the gifts play an important and active role in the life of the church. And I believe that healthy churches seek the gifts of the Spirit. They see how God has both gifted individuals and the group together, and then they use those gifts to help build up the faith of the church. Healthy churches seek, see, and use spiritual gifts. So what are they? Scripture has several lists, and the lists of gifts in Scripture are examples of the types of gifts that the Holy Spirit was giving to that early church to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish. None of those lists say that this is an exhaustive list, that that's it and no more. These lists are trying to categorize and put names to things that were happening in that present time. And so from this, it's helpful to realize that there are likely more gifts. You might even have a gift from God that isn't listed in the list we're about to see. That doesn't mean it's not a spiritual gift. But these lists are the best place to begin. As I was thinking about this morning, I thought, perhaps a spiritual gift that's not listed in Scripture, but I think is pretty legitimate, is that of a songwriter worship leader. So So we don't see that in there, but that's an anointed gift that the Spirit kind of draws out of a person, and certain people have that gift and other people don't, to bring and draw worship out of the community. Just a thought. So Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So here's a list from Paul to the church in Rome. And then a second list in 1 Corinthians. This is the largest gift list. It's still not exhaustive. And it's also in 1 Corinthians the most teaching that Paul does. So from chapters 12 to 14, he talks about very little else other than spiritual gifts, what they are, how to use them in the church, what not to do. So here's the list there. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. Teaching, no, sorry. Whoa, got lost there. Okay, so the list includes, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then some roles, apostleship, teaching, administration, and then this idea of helps or hospitality. Some people say service. And then a third list, Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And then there's this really great teaching that we're going to get to a little bit later, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and then the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then another list, this is not Paul, the first time it's not Paul, and this is Peter. He writes about the gifts, and he includes two specific ones. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So two things I want us to notice from Peter's list, so a bunch of Paul and then a little bit of Peter, is that Peter actually is echoing the things that Paul is saying about the gifts. He says, use your gifts that you've received. God has given you gifts. Use them. And then he says, the purpose is to bring glory to God. It's not about the individual. It's not about the person who has the gift. It's about bringing glory to God. So these scriptures about the gifts help us to understand the breadth of gifts. God has given the church a wide range of giftings, and they encourage us to use those spiritual gifts. And yet, I'm aware that we might not be. You might have some gifts. Maybe you're aware of them or not aware of them. You might not be using them. You might be thinking, and maybe you can place yourself in one of these three roles. You might be thinking, I just don't know what my gifts are. No one's ever told me. I've never had it confirmed. I'm just not sure what they are. Or you might be thinking, I don't have anything. You know, I've tried, I've looked, but there's nothing there, no gift. Or you might think, I'm not touching that stuff with a 10-foot pole. That spiritual gift stuff is nuts, it's messed up, it's out there, and that's for other people, not me. So you might have any of those approaches to spiritual gifts. Once I started saying spiritual gifts, you know who you are because you said, all right, this one's not for me. I'll wait for next week and tune in later. So we might be hesitant to seek, see, and use the gifts because of some bad experiences. Maybe some bad experiences you've had personally. Or so that sometimes spiritual gifts have a sketchy rep out there, especially when they've been used poorly, and you get this reputation that that's not what people of the mind, wise, smart people do. Maybe your reason is that you've seen the gifts lorded over others. So you've seen that gift been used to put other people in their place, or used in unorderly and confusing ways. So just ways that seemed not to jive with the God of order. Or perhaps you've seen them become a source of pride that seems to take God's glory, where people get kind of preoccupied with the spiritual gifts. Well, these were some of the reasons that Paul wrote so extensively on spiritual gifts in the church, because they were things that were commonly encountered in the early church. And I say common because I think that's just what happens when humanity gets their hands on divine power. Things are going to get messed up. I'm not sure any of us are able to use our gifts 100% purely and rightly all of the time. And just like everything else in our lives, we have to grow into wisdom. We have to grow with our understanding and our use of the spiritual gifts. And one of the things I think of is, you know, somebody who's young and they know daddy is wealthy beyond my wildest dreams and I don't have to ever work. I'm just going to have all the resources I could possibly have. Sometimes that young person is able to still have a really productive life, but we see it time and time again that that actually wrecks them, it ruins them, because they aren't taking the time to grow and to be disciplined and grow into that expression of giftedness. And the same kinds of things can happen with us. Our Father is fabulously wealthy. He has gifts and power. But we need to learn how to grow into that and do that wisely and use that wisely. So I'm going to just touch on each of these problems. The problem of lording gifts over others. We know that we admire the flashy in our culture. And they did that in the time of Jesus too, that new piece of wisdom, that new knowledge. We admire giftedness, an exceptional giftedness we exceptionally admire. How else do you explain sports stars, actors, singers, musicians being paid as much as they do, being paid as much as thousands of other people all together? And I just think that we have this sense that if you are gifted, then we need to be in awe of you, and exceptionally gifted even more so. And I think the same thing, that same mentality can happen in the church, where we can ascribe high honor to certain gifts while underappreciating others in the body. And just from some learning on personality types, you know the people who feel the most underappreciated from a personality type? It's the people that keep things going. They're the people that serve without needing to be seen. They just serve behind the scenes. And they keep the church, they keep the home, they keep everything running, but they don't seek that glory. And they can sometimes feel underappreciated, but they're not the ones that to ever step out and appreciate. So I'm going to do something I didn't plan to do. But there's a team of people that every single week for you come early, stay late, and they make sure there's coffee and snacks on the table. And don't we appreciate those people? We do. Thank you. Thank you. They hated that I did that. They're like, what are you doing? I don't want to be recognized like that. Sorry. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then Paul writes, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. This is close to Paul's heart, that we're a body together, that we should have equal honor. Equal honor. Paul's telling us that our gifts don't define our worth, that they are for each other, for the body, and we're all honored together. When one of us is honored, we share that. You know, one of the examples of this is Catherine has been invited to some pretty awesome conversations with our city, and she brings us into those conversations. She's never saying, hey, I'm Catherine, and look what I've done here. She's saying, this is what the gathering has done. All of the pieces of the body, isn't this great? And the city says, yes, it is. Thank you for doing what you do. So the second problem, the problem of disruptive, out-of-order gifts. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. Paul writes this because he had to. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. So in the use of spiritual gifts, you are responsible for how you use it. God made me do it is not a legitimate excuse for using your gifts in unhealthy ways. I just felt inspired of the Spirit to do this harmful thing. That's not how it works. An example might be if someone has a particular gift and then expects everyone else to have that same gift, or they're not right in some way. And you might be able to think of examples of people who think that my gift is somehow needs to be a common expression, even though Scripture says nothing of the sort. And that can be highly divisive in the church. If the church decides this gift is the most important one and everyone has to have this, and then we're all okay. That's what I would call the problem of disruptive or out-of-order gifts. The problem of gifts taking God's glory. This is pretty common. The gifts are sometimes used as a spiritual litmus test, as a badge of pride. Look at my gift. Look what I can do. Look how much God has blessed me. Or worse of all, it can come across as an arrogance. Like, what's wrong with you that you don't have a great gift? You're missing out on this blessing of God. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've been a part of a community where you picked up on that vibe, that there's this higher level of spiritual attainment that you need to reach, or somehow you're missing it. And this all stems from ascribing glory to the wrong source. Gifts are not about getting fame, money, or influence. Not in God's church. Ephesians 4, and we're going to go back and read that again. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Mature. That's the goal. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's a big goal. So that the church is built up. The gifts are meant for the maturing of the body to fullness, not the popularity of our church. So some people think, well, if we just use the gifts more, if we had some glamorous leader who could just heal everybody in an instant, then we'd become so famous and people would flock to us and our numbers would increase. That's not the purpose of the gifts. Never was. To increase the popularity of a church or an individual or to gain financial prosperity or even the respect of our peers. The gifts aren't about gaining respect. It's to build each other up into maturity. So when you're thinking about spiritual gifts with yourself, that's a wrestle. That's not something that's somebody else's problem. That's everyone's problem. What do I do with my gift? How do I wrestle with that desire that my gift makes me something special? That the gift draws huge crowds. Something we all wrestle with. How do I keep my gift in its intended purpose of building up the body, maturing the body? And Scripture addresses these problems because they were happening. I've said that. They weren't just imagined what if. They were actually being experienced. These are the temptations we all face when we're practicing the gifts, when we're growing in the gifts. It takes resisting those temptations, working through them, failing, learning when and how to use our gifts. So some of these things that I've mentioned, I've actually walked through. I've been that Christian who said, hey, I got this gift, and that makes me special. That makes me different. That makes me better. I've done that. I've thought that. Of course I have. I don't think anyone who has a special gift hasn't walked through that puffing up that a gift causes. So something we need to work through, something we need to address together. But it shouldn't scare us. The increased responsibility that comes from being a vessel of the Spirit has a temptation to intimidate us, because who are we to exercise that power, or maybe it's gotten out of control. And I think that's a big reason why the gifts aren't used more prominently in churches, because it just seems safer to steer clear. Let another church deal with those problems. That's too scary. That's too hard. So it just seems a little bit better not to press in, not to seek those. But that's not what's best. It's better than misusing power and letting the gifts get out of control and dividing the church and hurting people. It's better than that. But with wise expression of the spiritual gifts, the church becomes a dynamic, powerful, gracious community expressing God's supernatural nature. So the whole of God. God is a supernatural being. He has the power to reach beyond the natural. And as a church, if we're going to show each other and the world that, we got to start using these spiritual gifts and start expressing them and start learning about them. And when all believers serve together, when we all use our gift, then the body becomes fully functional. All the gifts of the Spirit working together are needed to produce the full potential of the church. So the Spirit distributes the gifts as he sees fit. This is one of the things that we struggle with the most as humans, that the Spirit gets to decide which gift I have. We all want to choose. We all want to pick our gift. And it's part of our humility journey to realize that the Spirit picks your gift. You don't get to choose. It's easy to overemphasize spiritual gifts as well. You want to serve God in that area. So you want to find your niche. You want to find, I'm gifted in this way, so I'm going to serve in this way. And what happens there, the temptation there, is then you say, well, because I'm gifted to teach, I have no business being in the kitchen washing dishes. Because that's for those people who have the serving or the hospitality gift. And I have the teaching gift. So we get, and that's pretty convenient, I think. It's pretty convenient. So one of the things is that the gifts don't work that way. It's not like when you find your gift, that's where you serve and nowhere else. God calls us to serve him, and he equips us to serve him in many different ways. God calls some to be teachers, and he gives them the gift to teach. But that doesn't excuse that person from serving God in other ways as well. You know, I always think of, on this one, I always think of Walt Disney. So if you've done any reading on Walt Disney, one of the famous things about him is he ran that company and starting from a mouse, he created this gigantic multinational corporation. But when he was walking through his parks, he would pick up the trash. That's what he did. He would just make sure that everything was just so. So picking up the trash was not above Walt Disney's, was not outside of his responsibility to the body that he was building. Could the same be said to you? If you see a spill or some garbage around here, do you say, oh, that's my body, and I got to clean that up? It's so good to know what your spiritual gift is, what God's given to you, but I don't want us to become preoccupied with our gifting, miss other opportunities to serve. Now, in the church today, this probably isn't a temptation that we're going to get so preoccupied with spiritual gifts that we forget to do. I don't think that's actually going to happen, but it's just important to say that. So now we move to how do you figure out what your gifts might be? The first part is just understanding the nature and purpose of gifts. And we're working through that today. It's not enough, probably, but it's a little taste of the understanding, like looking at Scripture and seeing, how has God done this? What are some of the guidelines around this? You can do way more reading. Online isn't always the safest place to do that, but you can, if you read broadly enough online, you can get enough of a sense of the breadth. There's a great book, Are the Miraculous Gifts for Today? 4 Different Views. It's a good, right from cessationists all the way to full expression and 4 different ways of dealing with the spiritual gifts. Might be a good read if you're the type of person who says, I'm not touching that stuff. Maybe read that book and see where you learn from the different approaches on that. But then we seek our gifts. We understand, and then the call is to seek our gifts. You can't earn them. They're not given based on merit. They're grace. So that addresses the person who says, well, I'm not ready to receive a gift because I haven't been in this long enough, or I haven't attained some other measure of success, or I'm not holy or good enough. The gifts are for the people that have got their Christian act together. That is not the case. God gives gifts. Think of the Corinthian church. They were all using their gifts in pretty disruptive ways, but God had given them those gifts, brand new Christians. So you don't earn your gifts, they're given, but you're encouraged to seek them, to ask for them. Not for yourself, not to feel good, not to look spiritual, but to serve God. So if your heart is, I want to serve God with everything you've given me, God, you're ready. That's all you need. Seek the gifts. Pray. It can happen in lots of different ways. You can get a group together and pray for the gifts. You can do it on your own. You can do it anywhere. Just seek. You can do it right now. God, I don't know what my gifts are. I want a spiritual gift. Whatever you have for me, give it to me. I want it. Please. I love your church and I want to serve it. The second is seeing our gifts. So you seek them and you see them. And there are various ways to look for your gifts. You can take a personal inventory. Just look, what have I been doing? What have I been, what has God been using me with and in over and over? You can take a spiritual gift test. I just recommend never take one. If you're going to take one, take at least 2. And I would say take 3. And just start to cross-reference them, because no one spiritual gift test has everything right, guaranteed. So just take a bunch. I posted one up there. This is a pretty large one. It's not like 30 questions and now I know your gift. It's tons of questions. Even that, take more than one. And then you start to see some patterns. Okay, some stuff is coming to me. Maybe these are some of my spiritual gifts. Maybe this is right. But then don't stop there. You always want to talk to somebody. You always want to say, do you see this in my life as well? and you want to talk to your friends, people who know you, people who have seen you serve, where are my spiritual gifts? And just ask each other. Turn to each other and say, where are my spiritual gifts? Have you seen them? What have you seen alive and active in my life? But even there, that's not enough. So once you've done some tests and you've asked people, you've got some feedback, you have some sense of what they might be, then you ask the Spirit, is that right? Is that true? Here's what I think. Is that what you've given me? So it's a conversation. A conversation that should start with thanks. Thank you for empowering me to serve. Thank you. Even if I don't know what my gift is right now, I know you've gifted me. Thank you for that. So we seek, we see, and then we use. When we've seen our gifts, the most important thing is to use them. It's more important than knowing what your gift is. Start using it. We don't need to be experts to use our gift. You can practice them with each other graciously. So this kind of balances that we don't want to use our gifts poorly, but we don't want to be so afraid to use our gifts poorly that we don't use them at all. So somewhere in there, and the best way to do that is to use your gifts in community. To start using them with people that you trust, people that can hold that graciously. If your gift, for example, is word of knowledge and God just drops things in your heart that you have no business knowing about somebody else, probably don't just start going and telling those people those things. It will freak them out, and you might not know what to do about that. You might not know how to handle that. I love that gift. I think it's the craziest gift ever, and I don't have it, so there's a little bit of gift envy there, but I'm dealing with that. So this is a gift, and people have done it to me. People have no business knowing what's going on. They just say, bam, and I'm like, what is happening here? But if you have a gift like that, you want to be doing it graciously. You want to be doing it in relationship with the Spirit. Sometimes God gives you something that you're not actually supposed to tell that person. You're supposed to wait on it. So you ask God, what do you want me to do about that? How do you want me to hold that and pray with that? All that to say, we want to move into the use of our gifts. We don't want to be paralyzed by the fear, but we want to do it in community, in spaces and places where we feel safe to express our giftedness. I also want to say, if spiritual gifts is something new to you, which it might be, feel free to keep talking about this. Find other people who want to talk about spiritual gifts. I love chatting about this. This is one of my little side hobbies. I like talking about spiritual gifts. So if you have some questions, you have some concerns or whatever, come and talk to me about it. Be happy to chat. So Jesus with the disciples, one time they came back, scriptures say, and they were glowing. They were so excited. They're like, Jesus, the demons are fleeing from us. We have power, and we're exercising our gifts, and it's working, and we're so excited. And Jesus doesn't join their excitement, but he says, hey, chill out. You should be more excited that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you are in the kingdom of God, because your gifts aren't about the experience. It's not about seeing things. It's about building the kingdom of God. So that's one thing that Jesus says. And then another time, the disciples come to Jesus and they're frustrated. Their gifts aren't working. They're saying, no matter what we did, we couldn't heal this person. What's wrong? And then Jesus says patiently and graciously, he says, you didn't do anything wrong. This kind comes out only through prayer and fasting, which I hear as there's more to learn. There's more you have to learn about your gift. It doesn't just happen all the time. Sometimes you have to take steps and grow and fail a little bit in your gifting. So obviously one sermon isn't near enough to learn everything about spiritual gifts, but I encourage you to seek them. You know enough already in this one sermon to seek your spiritual gifts, to learn about them, practice them with humility, find mentors to help you along, but use them. Your brothers and sisters need what you have. From the most spectacular of, supernatural gifts to the most important supporting gift. They're all needed. We need all the gifts working. So I think of this as exciting stuff to start 2018, taking a look at our shape, taking inventory of the great things that God's given us. Perhaps you and I will discover new things about the ways that God is at work in us through our gifts, through our abilities, through our personality and experiences. Hopefully we'll renew our commitment to serve Christ and others with all that we have. Maybe for some of you, you're kind of tiptoeing into the church. You haven't fully embraced this idea that we're in it together and we need to serve one another wholeheartedly. And maybe in this service, as we look at our shape, you get there. And a few more say, I'm in. I'm jumping in. I want to serve. I want to give what I got. Seek them, see them, and use them. So just want to say that I'm going to be around the coffee thing after service, and I want to talk about spiritual gifts with anyone else who does. So I'm going to try to steer conversations that way. If you want to ask a question or chat about it a little bit more, feel free to talk to me. If you don't want to talk about spiritual gifts, chat with me next week or call me on the phone. So my hope throughout this series is that we grow in our self-awareness. We see that God has put his fingerprint on each of us uniquely, and that we would worship the one who invites us into his purposes. So as the band comes up, I just invite us to worship the Father of lights together. We've already sung songs about how God is our Father. He gives us good gifts. And even if you doubt it, even if this is all brand new to you, I promise you, if you love the Lord, if you've invited the Spirit into your life, he has gift, at least a gift, if not a couple of gifts for you. And he knows you. He knows what gifts he wants to give you. And so I just invite you to seek them, to see them, and then to start to use them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the way that you inspire us, you challenge us out of our comfort levels. And spiritual gifts certainly does that. It can't not do that because we're being invited to tap into something beyond ourselves. It's impossible to operate in the spiritual gifts in the natural. It just is. So it makes us draw from you. It makes us rely on you. And that's something you deeply desire for all of us. That we would learn that paying attention to our own internal stuff isn't all there is. That there's so much more that you have for us. And so I pray that you would be working on hearts this morning. That people have moved a little bit in their understanding of spiritual gifts and their interest level, curiosity with spiritual gifts. And I pray that some would seek, that some would see and use, that we would offer what we have in this community and see this community become mature, attaining to the fullness of Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the great gifts that God